Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTÉ Radio 1.
Hello again. Still with me here are Fianna Fáil Minister of State Charlie McConlogue, Sinn Féin TD Eoin Óibrin and Sinead Gibney of the Social Democrats. Taoiseach Micheál Martin has indicated a decision will be announced in the coming days on the future of rent pressure zones. Rent pressure zones are those areas of the country where rents are highest and rising quickly. Landlords can't increase rents in one of these zones by more than 2% per year. The Business Post is reporting that a scheme to preserve RPZs for existing tenants and scrap them for new buildings is actively being considered. Minister Charlie McConlogue, the decision hasn't been formally announced yet, but the expectation is that rent pressure zones will be scrapped for new tenancies at least. Can you shed any light on it, on that, and at least as to whether or not rent pressure zones will be scrapped in some situations?
No, I don't know what the decision will be, but I know it's been looked at very closely by the new Minister for Housing, James Brown, since he came to office. And as he does, he's looked at this and considered it in his, all of his aspects, with the view of trying to make sure that the decision that is made is one that is effective in relation to protecting tenancies and renters, but also doesn't act, that we don't have a system in place that acts in a way that that becomes a blockage for investment and new housing happening either. So I think that's the balance that will be struck there, and that the decision and whatever proposals that has come forward with will seek to achieve. I think it has become an issue that in terms of the structure that's in place, that it has been become an impediment to new investment, and it's important we can see how we can address that and make sure that investment, as much investment as possible, is flowing into housing while keeping the safeguards in place that we need as well to protect renters.
All right. Eoin Óibrin, I don't know whether you read that proposal that was reported on in the Business Post, this idea that new apartments would not come under the rent pressure zones, whereas existing tenancies would. Does that go some way towards striking a balance in the current system?
Absolutely not. And it's clear that the Department of Housing or the Minister for Housing is out briefing journalists on this, because both yesterday morning in the Irish Mail, Craig Hughes, and then yesterday evening, the Business Post, Conal Thomas and Killian Woods were reporting this. Let's be very clear. You cannot, on the one hand, protect renters and allow landlords to dramatically increase rents above the current rent pressure zone caps. And what we're hearing is the idea that in between tenancies, either there will be a higher cap or rents can be set to the new market rent. Given that the average tenancy is about 3 to 4 years, given that in the institutional investment sector, at least 10% of tenancies change each year, what that will do is it will dramatically increase rents at a time when rents are already too high. And not only will Sinn Féin and other opposition parties, I hope, strongly resist this, but there is a growing public anger on this and other aspects of the housing crisis. On the 17th of June, outside the Dáil at 6 o'clock, on the 21st of June at 2 o'clock, outside the National Monument in Cork, there will be two major mobilisations led by the trade unions, civil society, political parties like ourselves, the Social Democrats and others, under the Raise the Roof banner, where people will be saying very clearly that in the middle of a housing and cost of living crisis, when the average new rents, according to Daft, are €2,000 a month, when the latest RTB data shows not just for new renters, but for existing renters, rents are increasing year on year, we cannot allow rents to rise. And here's the crazy thing.
I do want you to address is, how do you integrate what the Central Bank of Ireland, the ESRI, were saying in front of the Housing Committee last week, that along with interest rates and planning, the rent pressure zones are a factor in influencing the drop-off in investment in private apartment building in the country.
This was the point I was actually going to make, because if you listened to the interaction between our committee members and the ESRI and the Central Bank, what they were making clear is there is no guarantee. Even if you allow rents to increase, either by scrapping the RPZs or scrapping them in between tenancies, there is no guarantee it's going to lead to an increased level of investment. Do we need more homes in the public and private sector? Yes, we do. Do we need more high-density homes in inner urban areas? Yes, we do. But the solution is not to punish renters even more in the middle of a cost of living crisis. It's to increase and accelerate the delivery of social and affordable homes and work with the small and medium builder-developer sector to deliver far more good quality homes for working people to buy at more moderated prices. Ripping off renters is not a solution to the housing crisis.
Okay, Sinead Gibney, if there was a hybrid system introduced where existing tenancies were protected in the rent pressure zones and new apartment buildings were not subjected to that in order to encourage inward investment from private funds and the like, Could you see your way to supporting a system like that?
No. We have some of the weakest protections for renters in Europe. And this is just one meagre protection that we do have that we have to hold on to. There's no question about that. I mean, the RPZs were introduced because, and essentially a temporary measure until supply was increased. That was 9 years ago. Supply has not increased, but removing them is not going to be a solution. It is going to push people into homelessness and poverty. We know that a third of renters who get no support from the state are at risk of poverty, and two thirds of private renters who get support are at risk of poverty. That is twice the mainstream population. So we know that in a situation where people are already paying high rents, if we remove the rent pressure zones, those rents are going to increase. People are going to be forced into both poverty and homelessness when we already have spiralling figures. So no justification for relief on the supply side can you know warrant that protection being removed. That is not the case. And as Owen has described, there are multiple factors affecting the investment picture here around inflation costs, interest rates, and larger macroeconomic factors that you know that are not going to be solved by a silver bullet of removing the RPZs. Quite the reverse.
Can you see the amount of discontent that might be created, Charlie McConlogue, if there was a two-tier system introduced where one cohort of tenants are protected in rent pressure zones and people living close by aren't?
I think, listen, this is what the Minister and the Government have been considering very closely over the last period of time. And our objective here is to provide as much protection as possible to renters. And of course, alongside that, making sure that we're getting as much supply into the system as possible, because for both renters and for young people and people of all ages looking to get a home, making sure we're maximising the supply is critical to actually achieving that. So that's the balance that the Minister will be seeking to strike.
We have to consider and take on board what
the Central Bank and the SRA have been saying in relation to this and look at it. And I think it's going to be important this week that there will be clarity brought to that so that everyone knows where they stand and we can make sure that the policy is clear.
So what's the projected supply that would be brought in by the removal of rent pressure zones?
Well, listen, that's something that the government have been looking at in relation to, and obviously the Central Bank and the RSRI have given in reports in relation to how they see the challenges. I know it's something the Minister has been assessing very closely. His objective here in everything he does is to increase supply and increase the number of houses that are being built.
I think it's about 25,000 apartments needed if housing targets to be met. So is this measure going to go substantially towards achieving that?
So listen, I don't know what the figures are in relation to that, but that's what has been centrally considered in relation to coming to a conclusion in this decision.
All right, Owen O'Brien.
First of all, we already have a double two-tier private rental market because new rental stock coming into the system doesn't have to adhere to rent pressure zones when setting the new rents. That's why, for example, rents right across Dublin, including my own constituency in the suburbs, are now coming in at 2,500 to 3,000 euros a month, while new rents, for example, in Limerick, increased by 20% in the last year in the city and are equivalent to Dublin. But we also still have people outside rent pressure zones that are getting 10, 15, 20% rental increases annually, according to the RTB. And you see, for me, here's the real appalling element of the government's policy here. There is no assessment or no analysis to say that allowing institutional investment landlords to push up rents and their tenants by even greater factors than they're already rising will increase any level of supply. If it does, my estimation is it will only be small amounts of very expensive supply in parts of the south inner city of Dublin and more affluent areas like Sandymount. And we have people right across the country who need good quality affordable homes. Probably the biggest failing of this government is they were meant to deliver thousands of affordable homes for people to rent or buy, and they've missed those targets by more than any other targets that they've missed. If Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael want to do right, you missed your new build social housing target by 16%, you missed your cost rental target by 15%, you missed your affordable purchase target by 61%. And if you want to do right by renters, what you need to do is build far more social homes, affordable rental homes and homes for working people to buy, not rip off rents at 2,500 to 3,000 euros a month.
We have a programme of social housing building which is unprecedented, which is why
homelessness is rising, including in your own county.
Okay, it's actually a listener has texted in on the subject of social homes. What is the panel's reaction to Minister James Brown's decision not to proceed with contracts for the public-private partnership bundle across six sites that would deliver 500 social homes. I'll get your reaction to that, Sinead Gibney, first, if you want to address what was asked in the last question, but if you want to address that as well before I come back to Charlie McConnell.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really unfortunate. I think, you know, where we're seeing social homes provided in any of the local authorities, obviously they're being snapped up with a lot more demand than is available for them. So to hear of such a number being hit pause, essentially, I think is really unfortunate. I mean, overall, though, just even listening to the minister talking about it in this way, you know, it's we have generations of people who are locked out of home ownership, many of whom are also locked out of rental properties. So the idea of this rent pressure zone being this magic fix that's going to solve everything, I mean, you know, the survey results will tell us that actually those people who are going to be affected, they don't want to be renting anyway. They want to be owning homes. So the idea of releasing and encouraging people into the home ownership market who are going to rent, when actually the goal is to allow people into the home ownership market who want to own their own homes, people in generations you know, in 20s and 30s and 40s now, who are just totally frozen out of it. That's what we need to be looking at. And this government, you know, and we hear the term step change, the Taoiseach again and again using the term step change on housing. All I can picture is him doing a line dance about it, because there is no step change. We can all see that. Nothing is changing. Homelessness figures are going up. House prices are going up. Rental costs are going up. And this government is not dealing with it.
OK, that story about, before I go back to Charlie McConnell, I want to bring that story that's in the Journal today, saying that this public-private partnership has been cancelled. There are 68 homes in East Wall, Dublin 3, 93 homes in Ballymun, 83 homes in Collins Avenue in Dublin, 73 homes in Athy and Kildare, 106 in Blessington, and 63 in Rathellen and Sligo.
So this is a very significant story broken by Owen Dalton, the journalist with thejournal.ie. And I'm not surprised. The use of public-private partnerships for the delivery of social homes has always been controversial. It has never represented good value for money. We highlighted this when the first bundle was delivered, 100 of which were in my own constituency. But the government pressed ahead and they said, no, this is fine, this is working. And of course now they've been caught out.
Right, so stopping it is a good thing then, is it?
Well, the problem is it should never have been in a public-private partnership in the first place. However, these are publicly owned sites. Planning permission is in place. And what Minister Brown now needs to do is, as a matter of urgency, engage with the four local authorities involved and provide them the funding for them to bring in building contractors to build out those homes as standard social homes. We cannot allow the fact that the government wrongly proceeded with expensive public-private partnership delivery models to delay the delivery of these much-needed homes. So these should never have been PPPs. They were never value for money. It's ironic that the government, 5 years in, has finally accepted what we were saying from the start. But these homes need to be delivered and need to be delivered as a matter of urgency. And I know the local authorities involved want to deliver those homes, but they're dependent on money from government.
Okay, Charlie McConlogue.
Well, listen, I mean, the vast majority of social housing that's been built in this country has been built through our local authorities, with a significant amount as well through approved housing bodies. I know Sinn Féin and other parties have objections in principle to public-private partnerships. And I have to say, in relation to public...
Apparently your minister does now,
in relation,
Charlie.
In relation to public-private partnerships, there's been a lot of really good projects delivered. And I can think of five or six primary care centres, for example, in my own county here,
which
have been delivered
very
strongly. And I read that story there today too, and what the story says that Minister Brown has paused six particular projects because of value for money, and that's each project.
But
and
whether
it's paused or whether he does not proceed with them in full, it is around making sure that there's value for money. And
there has to be
oversight there as well to make sure that we're getting value for money. And this seems to be what Minister Brown is making sure is the case in terms of his assessment of these six particular projects at the moment.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're back in a minute.
Saturday with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.